You have to also get comfortable to be in the spotlight. Being a designer is a social thing at the end of the day. So you just have to get out of your shell at some point. You can't expect everyone to meet you where you are. You also have to be working on your confidence and your ability to engage with everyone else.
Welcome to the 7-Minute Product Master Series podcast. I'm Luis Kangethe, and today I'm joined by Charity, product designer at Microverse. Welcome, Charity.
Thank you so much, Luis.
To start the show, give me a brief definition of product design.
So in my opinion, I think product design is the process of uncovering problems and finding creative ways to solve problems while you're working at the intersection between business, consumers, and engineers. Though most of the time, your loyalty is to the consumers. So I like to think of myself as a blend of many things. Think of a Swiss knife. So you're one person, but you're applying very many different tools to solve very many different problems in different contexts.
Fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. And I'm curious, what's the biggest product design mistake you've ever made and what did you learn?
Besides never having my portfolio ready when I need it. Okay, so typically, I think in the past, I would say I've always, not always, like I'm learning to get away from this, but to expect perfection. And I end up losing lots of time. Typically, I've learned over time that having something done is better than having it perfect. So when you're expecting to have something perfect, you'll find you're expanding the scope of really trying to make flashy things and you've not even tested them out with stakeholders. You're just going on intuition and you're not solving for actual issues. So I think expecting to do things to perfection, that's been my biggest mistake. And it's something I think as I grow as a designer, I'm learning that, as I said, done is better than perfect.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. What's the one piece of common wisdom you disagree with and why?
My answer would be, I'm not sure. Because I feel like everything people say comes from somewhere. It's not coming from thin air. It comes from their own lived experience. And it may be true or false in different contexts. So I may say, I don't believe in this is wrong. But then when I'm in a specific context, it's the correct thing. So I'm finding it difficult to pick a single thing. I don't know what that says about me and my indecisiveness, as you can see. I don't have the perfect answer to this. Yeah, so I would say everything is relative. It's relative to the context. So I can't say yes or no to anything specific. My answer would just be, I need to be in the context.
Okay, fair enough. So what's the best product design advice you ever received and why?
Maybe at risk of sounding like a broken record, you likely never get anything right on the first try. So the sooner you can move fast and uncover pain points on the fly, just keep repeating your process and putting it in the user's hands and learning from that and repeating it until you achieve the best possible fit. And I remember I saw a quote somewhere earlier on in my career that said, if your solution is perfect by the time you're launching, you're probably too late. And probably also you'll notice that someone already produced a similar solution and it's much worse than what you have, but you're already late.
Interesting. What's working best in your product design process right now?
Collaboration with my team right now is going really fantastically. I work for a fully remote company. And I think one of the things I really like about how we're working together is our async communication. It's been splendid, as I mentioned. So working like in that kind of decentralized environment, we're always optimizing for a better way to communicate in low context. So we want to over-communicate and make sure that everything is clear, because you don't want to assume that someone knows something or they don't. And then you find out hours later when they wake up in their own time zone that they don't know. So you want to over-communicate. And then I find that now in the course of my day-to-day work, context gathering, which I mentioned is really key for me being able to work on project, is a breeze. Because when I need to work on something that was done by someone else or something that I did maybe a year ago, I hardly remember anything about it. The fact that we're async and we have lots of documentation, we have actual conversations that are documented in videos or in text threads, it's much easier to just pick something up from where you left off a year ago and continue, as opposed to if I was working maybe in a sync place and the meetings were in person and I don't remember anything from the conversation. But then of course there's benefits and demerits. And one of the cons would be you have to be prepared to spend lots of time doing a lot of reading and watching Loom videos and doing the writing and reading yourself. Yeah, but for the most part, I really like that we have lots of documentation and our communication is going very well async.
That's very interesting. Yeah, on to the next question. What's the one thing every product designer should learn?
We need to develop the skill of listening and the skill of observation. Those two go together. And I feel like maybe for me being an introvert, this comes more naturally to me, but it can apply to other people as well. But you have to also get comfortable enough to be in the spotlight. As a designer, being a designer is a social thing at the end of the day. So you just have to get out of your shell at some point. You can't expect everyone to meet you where you are. You also have to be working on your confidence and your ability to engage with everyone else. So like when you're engaging with stakeholders, you're facilitating a workshop or a brainstorming session, your work as a designer is guide them towards a solution and not tell them what the solution is. Doesn't involve you being the loudest person in the room. Even when you're engaging, let's say, with users, you gain more when you're just quiet and you watch what they do. And maybe you can just ask them questions so that you understand why they're doing what they're doing. But like listening and observing, those, in my opinion and in my experience, are the most important things I've learned and the most important things I would tell anyone to learn, besides, of course, the technical skills.
So thanks for sharing that. And our last question, what's the one thing you learned about yourself recently that changed the way you work?
Naturally, I'm typically a very curious person. I'm a serial hobbyist. So I do very random things. I've played tennis, I've done stand-up comedy, I've done painting, all within such a short time. So I like to experiment and learn lots of new things. At work, I've found that my curiosity really helps me a lot. Comes naturally for me to ask lots of questions, to try and find, as we said earlier, that extra bit of information for that light bulb moment, or being able to dig around lots of documentation and find a missing link to a problem that we're trying to solve. The ability to just pick up a new tool and that will make my work easier or someone else's work easier or faster, especially in like discovery when you are dealing with a lot of unknowns and you need to dig around many different places to piece your projects together and make it make sense.
So thank you, Charity, for joining us today and sharing all those insights with our audience.
Okay, thank you for the invite.
Well, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening and see you next time.